And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
Who said anything about caring? Do you want to continue dying? Oh, Jesus Christ.
What? I'm just waiting.
It's just a cat is dying.
Oh, God.
That's actually the same sound Joe makes when he deep throats you.
Maybe.
We missed you, Chris.
Yeah.
We missed you, Chris. Piddles is fat. What's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Peppy.
And none of us are in the same room.
It's true.
Well, one of us is not in the same state. The other two are in the same apartment.
Indeed.
The same building, but...
We are separated. There is a wall separating us.
There is.
We've been fighting a lot, and I don't even want to see this motherfucker right now.
The only reason why I wanted to do this is because I want to start like testing how I can get my mic to sound from afar because I'm probably going to be moving.
I now realize why everyone said that we sound kind of bassy with those mics.
Oh, dude, Chris why is that? Super bassy.
Because those mics are one more time for the bass.
One more time for the bass.
This mic makes you sound like 8 times sexier than you really are.
Well, hold on. I can adjust this, you know. Hold on.
Yes, let's do that now.
How would you want to sound less sexy?
Hold on.
I don't get it.
Hold on.
Holding.
Hold on.
Let's see here. EQ. Low cut.
Yeah, welcome to the exciting episode.
Hold on. How about that? Is that better?
Yeah, you're fine.
It sounds the same, so sure.
Is that better?
It's fine. What's up, everyone? This is Joe.
Is that better?
Fine.
I'm coughing over here still.
don't die on me.
I'm better, but I'm not 100%.
You're better health. You're not better as a person.
I'll never be good as a person. Speaking of being awesome... We have fucking business cards, bitch.
Forgot about that.
Yeah. Joe and I had a conversation. I just had this. I've been tossing around in my brain like, we should get cards for MagFit. Like, we should get legit. So I talked to Joe about it. You know, being me, I'm like, yeah, man, I got this great idea. It's your show. So if you want to make them, I'll buy them. And so he made them. And then, you know, we went back and forth a little bit. And it's like, fucking yeah. I'm like, oh, I'll buy them tomorrow. Tomorrow he texts me and he's like, oh, yeah, no, Ashley just said I could buy
it. No, that night I texted you.
Well, I was asleep when you did it. So tomorrow I read the text, you know.
And, I'll be honest. Cool. The main reason I did it is because if I'm getting business cards for my show, I want them. I want them first.
Yeah, the only reason that
I want them here in my arms.
I ordered them here is so that if you couldn't make it to MagFest, I'd still have cards to hand out.
I want them in my arms. So I could fondle them and touch them.
Yeah.
I actually have one in my hands. I think it's the first one on the back of it.
The number one card.
I have the first business card. He wrote me a personalized note, and I thought it was really sweet. It's you're a faggot. That's literally now, what he put on the back.
There are a number of missing letters there,
yes,
so
it's
not
are,
a slur.
Yeah, it's you are and then space a and then
obviously
and,
a.
And then a comma, enter, return,
yes.
FGT. So it's
which,
not...
Which is not a gay slur. That's just...
Yeah.
All right, that kind of actually leads right into that question.
I know that you wanted to talk about this.
That's fantastic.
Indeed. Before we get into this, because we've been getting a lot more listeners, the language in this episode, while we normally say fun, family-friendly words like fuck, shit, cock, cunt, things like that, There's some fucked up shitty language in this fucking show right here.
Yeah.
Like, and, in the not fun way.
Yeah, I'm going to touch on something serious. And anyone listening, if you'd like to email us and weigh in, I'm very curious to see what a lot of people think.
Yeah, this is a touchy show, and we want to try handling it with the utmost respect, I guess. I don't want to say grace, because we can't do grace, but...
Respect. So if you would shut up, fat ass, so I can move on here.
Go fuck yourself.
So so as I mentioned before, I don't really watch Twitch streams because of, you know, the full-time job and the doing other things. But so what I like to do when I get home is watch some of the best of stuff on YouTube, certain streamers. And one of the guys, I usually don't watch his channel, but he's a guest in a lot of the other channels. We're talking a guy who's got 1.5-2 million subscribers. So I'm like, well, you know what? He's playing Plants vs. Zombies 2. And I haven't had a chance to play the game. Let me check it out and see what a streamer's doing with it. He starts off, and I think I made it 5 minutes. Probably not even that. Once they get into the game, there's that the flower, right? Is that the more feminine looking of the plants?
The healer, I guess.
Yeah, the healer.
Well, no,
the
sunflower? There's another one. There's a new one. It's the rose, I think.
Okay, yeah, I see the rose because it looked new. So,
I didn't play too much with the beta. Yeah. But.
So, the two guys streaming, the guy hosting, and then his buddy. They're both pea shooters, and they see the rose running. Like, yo, look at the hoe. Yo, let's follow that bitch. Yo, what up, hoe? And I'm just like, okay, childish humor, whatever. But then they start actually fighting the zombies, and I'll give the guy credit. He's wailing. He's got like 5 or 6 kills, no deaths yet. Dies, and his buddy's like, come back to base, man. And he's like, no, man, I'm killing these faggots. Yeah, I got this little faggot here. Yeah, I just kicked his little ass. And that's when I was finally like, I got to stop, man. This is not... I guess he's on better behavior on other people's channels because they've probably been like, okay, here's stuff that's not cool. We can make fun of each other, but we're going to limit these languages. That's all I can assume is that on his channel, he's like, well, fuck this. I can say whatever I want. So I was curious what you guys think. Will you actually decide who you stream, not just based on a little bit of language here and there, how exciting they are, but will you actually choose not to stream something if you feel that they're being just straight up offensive? And I guess the other question is, do you find that kind of stuff offensive? Because I did. I straight up did.
I'm a firm believer in people get way too uptight over what people say. Like Louis C.K. is a perfect example with the whole routine that he does on one of his specials about the word faggot. And he makes valid points about how he handles it and everything like that. But then there's people like the streamer you're talking about where there's no tact to what they're saying. It's just being flat out offensive.
Yeah, Louis C.K. is a comedian. He handles that with aplomb, but you also realize that, he says those for part of his stand-up, but you can also pretty much tell that he still does it in a mature way if those words ever come up off screen.
I think a lot of it comes down to what you're saying, how you're saying it, the audience around you. And we, we have...
But again,
this is such a hard thing to talk about because
that's the thing. Because
things said between friends is a lot different than things being said on a stream.
Yeah, and I think that's the first thing that popped to mind was I have an 8-year-old niece and she loves video games. I buy her for Christmas and her birthday. I get her DS games, and when I go home, I want to introduce her to some other games, like on Xbox and stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, do I want to introduce her to a community where they're going to see her playing a female character and their first words out of their mouth are going to be, yo, check out that hoe. I don't want my niece to be involved in a community like that where the first word for a female character is not, oh, hey, look, a female. It's such and such person. Let's go game. I don't want the gender thing.
I understand that. In the same regard, though, you should understand that there's separate sections for, different audiences, because then you're then you're just getting down the rabbit hole of like, well, you know, should this be censored for the masses? Should this be, you know, regulated? And free speech is essentially always going to trump that.
Should YouTube have a warning this video has sensitive language?
Well, and that's the thing.
Anyone, there can be a 6-year-old watching that stream on YouTube.
Right, but Twitch, like, so Twitch does that because I have it set up on my channel, you have to click through that there's adult language.
Yeah,
it's up to the person to set it up properly. And then when it comes to YouTube, like same thing with YouTube, like there is a YouTube, I think there's like a YouTube Kids or something like that, so that anything that is coming through on their searches is completely fine. So as long as everybody is taking their personal responsibility to upload it properly with those regulations in check, I don't see like where there's a problem.
Because, well, then we quote to 16, 17-year-olds. I'm not going to put YouTube Kids on a 16-year-old. But if that's someone he's looking up to, is he going to start emulating that behavior?
Well, and that's just more of a social thing where it's just like, why is it socially acceptable for someone to be presented with this type of information and people aren't more up in arms about it? It all really depends because some people feel that way, some people don't. Like I personally, I don't give a shit. I don't really care what other people are doing. I'm just gonna focus on myself because I feel like. There's too many people nowadays that are so involved with other people's problems and making them their own problems where, like, to me, I know that I can just turn it off and walk away.
Yeah. That's what I did. The mature thing, you know, I didn't tweet it. I didn't Facebook it. You know, it made me think of a good question for the show. But otherwise, right. Yeah, I handled it the mature way and I went, this is not for me. But it made me genuinely curious. Are there people out there who just don't care, or they think that's legitimately funny? And that's the other thing, you know.
There's always going to be, and I hate to use this word because you're going to be like, oh my God, why? But when it comes to art and any sort of creative expression, there's always going to be someone out there that it appeals to. So there's always going to be an audience for everything.
Proof being that our show has been growing.
Exactly. So it's one of those things where even though it might not be accepted by the majority of the population, there's always going to be some people that are like, yes, this is perfect. This is for me. I love it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I was just kind of bummed because they were kicking ass on Plants vs. Zombies and I hadn't played it. So it was,
and you
it
weren't.
Was nice to watch. Yeah. I wasn't playing it because I only had 20 minutes before I tried to get some sleep. And I was like, well, that's enough time to watch a stream.
I'm curious to know if he was just doing that as his streaming or if he was like in game chat talking like that.
No, just the stream. Just the stream. So that right there, so that goes back to what you mentioned, just between friends, you know, because really there were just two people shooting the shit talking the way that they talk naturally.
Yeah, but when
time,
you
like
stream
you said,
that on YouTube, yeah. That's no longer between friends.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wonder if that's a generational thing, because I think we got probably 10, 15 years on the streamer.
It's a generational thing. I could tell you that right up front. Because, I mean, I'm 26, but in the same regard, like, I look at people that are even, like, my age and slightly younger than me, and I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing? Like I don't understand how this is an acceptable behavior to have in public.
Because I know I mentioned it before, there was another video I watched out of curiosity where someone was talking about Twitch's new rules against quote-unquote fake gamer girls. Basically what it was is you can't just ask for money and show cleavage and dance around. You had to actually be playing a game. And I'm like, that's kind of interesting from, you know, I'm a sociology major, you know, that's I kind of like that thing from a socioeconomic standpoint. It's not cool to go onto Twitch where people want to play games and be like, hey, I'll flash my boobs if I make $100. You know, that's for other streaming sites.
I love the fact that we've been saying these horrible words and you went with flash my boobs instead of flash my titties or
but anyhow,
tits or jugs.
I watched that video because I'm like, oh, this is actually legitimately interesting. But then the guy giving his reasons was devolving to, look at that bitch, she's skanky anyway, you know, this hoe is stupid, you know, this is just a dumb, greedy, ugly bitch. And I'm like, well, man, you know, whatever points you were going to make, you just lost.
Yeah.
You know, but then I look at it, 2 million fucking views.
Yeah.
On the flip side, like, do people really still say ho a lot these days? Look at this ho over here.
Hold on. I can answer that.
Okay, do white people say?
I can answer that. So every single time we play a show, we play this like folky acoustic song called Ho Hey. And in the middle of the, like, there's just a callback where it's just ho, hey, like in between like every other measure.
Yeah, the Lumineers is that?
Yeah, I forget the name of the band. So yeah, so when we do that, we'll just say, you're my sweet ho, hey. And then we'll call people hoes in the crowd as we're singing the rest of the song. So
I'm talking in like common speech to each other, not in a joking way in a song.
Well, I mean, still, it's not in
Joe,
the song. Like,
I mean, I'll straight Joe, you say what up ho to me all the time.
But that's not in like trying to have a discussion with something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I understand.
Look
using
at this
it as
dumb
an
bitch
actual
over
term,
here.
Yeah. Using it as an actual term to describe a woman.
Yeah. Like, I use it to talk to male friends because they hoes. But, like, to use it as a derogatory word to a woman, it just seems so dumb these days.
I mean, and I
you
think
what's
that's
really
what it comes
dumb?
Down
the fact
to.
That there's derogatory terms for, like, gender and race, and it just...
Yeah. I think what it is it just it comes with maturity when you realize that words have value.
Yeah.
And but what worries me is now that we can see anybody. You know, there's no YouTube is beyond that whole. Oh my God, you have a million subscribers. That's amazing. Now there are hundreds of people with a million subscribers now.
Yeah.
And
we have 86.
Yeah,
that's
and
still more
we're
than I thought.
Almost
we
there. We're almost to a million.
So close.
So
far away.
It's now. I think it's now that media is less controlled by the media, and now it's on the individual to decide. Well, do I want to represent a mature side? Do I want to at least you know not give my viewers bad habits, or do I want to just you know? I saw a Reddit thread the other day, and it was who are the worst YouTubers, and I was pretty happy as I'm scrolling down. I'm just I don't know any of these people. I don't know a single name here, but I watched a few videos to see why they were mentioned, and holy shit! Like one guy's entire channel was just going up to women, grabbing their asses, or trying to force a kiss on them. And he's like, oh, it's just a prank. Yeah, it's funny. And I'm like, oh, dude, that's fucking rape. You're filming fucking, you know.
Sexual assault. You are.
Yeah.
What
the? It's like, what the shit? Yeah, and that's a channel. And the guy's got thousands of subscribers and viewers. And it's ridiculous.
What the fuck?
It's a complete lack of maturity, and that's where I think getting a little older. We did something stupid when we were college age. If we did something just downright retarded, not you know mentally handicapped, but when you look at someone, you go, "Holy fuck, that was retarded."
And again, that's
we like, had a story to tell.
Such a different age of us growing up compared to the social norms of today.
Yeah, we had a story to tell. Later, you know, or we, you know, hey, man, remember that time you did that really fucking stupid thing? And then you give someone shit. Now someone's filming it. So I almost think that these kids need to grow up faster, or else, you know, 10, 20 years down the line, their employer is going to Google them and be like, oh, hey, they have their own YouTube channel and it's them sexually assaulting people. Well, we're not hiring you.
Yeah, right.
When you said that you were watching a video of like a guy trying to kiss people, for a second, I thought you were talking about, I think his name is Mike O'Brien. He used to be on Saturday Night Live. He has an interview series called 7 Minutes in Heaven, where he does an interview with a celebrity friends, like in a closet. And at the end, he awkwardly tries to kiss them no matter what. And most people are in on the joke. And at first I thought that's what you were talking about because that shit's hilarious.
In on the joke, but they gave consent. They knew what they were doing. No, I'm talking about a college.
Actually, a lot of the people on that show had no idea it was coming. Like the first people who did the show, like I think Tina Fey and God, who the fuck all was on there? I think Mike Tyson was on there maybe.
What?
Or no.
Mike Tyson
no, not Mike Tyson.
Player.
It was ICP.
Oh,
they were on
God.
The show, and Mike O'Brien just like slowly started leaning towards them with like a puckered lips. It's so goddamn funny to watch.
Yeah, but you're talking comedy. Action, you know, the guy knows what he's doing. He knows how to get a laugh, and he's awkwardly leaning in. I'm talking about a guy who's straight up going to strangers in the mall, and then look over there, and then leaning in and kissing them forcing a kiss on them.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah,
but Mike O'Brien's funny. He's not. Well, he is fucked up, but in a good way.
Michael,
but I don't know, man. I know it's a pretty heavy topic for our show to tackle, but it's something I really wanted to bring up. And
I mean, the thing that kind of makes me uncomfortable with it is, I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, is the people that essentially are okay to say certain things, certain times, but then not okay to say it other times. I mean, like for me, it's just kind of like. To me, it's almost like social smoking. Like if you're out casually, just like, and you have a cigarette every once in a while, then you're a smoker. Like I'm a smoker. Because I casually smoke. But if you're someone that uses that type of terminology, like in passing, then you should be fine with using that terminology like anywhere. Like if you're like, I can't really see the dichotomy between it.
So you actually feel that if you're comfortable saying it in one place, you should be comfortable with saying it all the time.
Yes.
Or you should just
not say it.
That kind of feels like someone saying like, well, if you're okay being naked in your house, you should feel comfortable being naked everywhere. I mean, that's kind of how your opinion sounds to me right now.
Yeah, and that's what I love about it, though, is it's a different point of view on it. You know, you both have a different point of view on it than I do. And I, you know, we figured this out over just the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, right.
I think what we can all agree on is that this shit is way too serious for our show and we need to talk about different things.
Sure.
Shit just got real.
So let me give you guys the story of the fucking year. Yesterday, driving home from work, I'm stopped at a red light. Look in the rearview mirror. There's an older woman. And driving the car behind me. She's got what looks like her husband in the passenger seat and like a grandkid in the back. And she's just chowing down on corn on the cob.
Huh?
The car behind you?
Yes. She's driving the car behind me, eating corn on the cob at the red light.
Okay.
Officially the weirdest thing I've seen in Vegas. And I told a coworker and his reply was the best. He's like, why the fuck would you do corn on the cob, man? There's shrapnel everywhere when you're eating that.
Shrapnel.
That's a good way to put it. Shrapnel.
I know. And I'm like, I'm stealing that. I told him straight up, but I'm stealing that. That's amazing. He's like, but that's true. You bite into corn. It's fucking shrapnel. It goes in all directions. Why would you do that in the car?
That's like, so strange.
You know what right now is a good time for?
What's that?
Email.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we have more than four.
All the emails.
You've
been missing things, Chris.
We have 15.
What the fuck have you guys been doing?
Giveaways.
Winning. All I do is win.
Giveaways.
Okay.
You should read the Chris email first.
You can't just let me get to it without giving away that there's an email specifically for him.
No.
Oh. I didn't know that.
So our first email is from David Farley, and the subject is called, So I Listen to a Band. Hey, guys. I wanted to talk about a band that I've heard brought up several times on the podcast. I am, of course, referring to Chris.
Ethereal?
No.
This was a chance. You blew it.
God damn you, Chris.
Opeth?
Big Wreck.
Oh, yeah.
I got curious and looked up some of their videos. Big Wreck has got to be the most 90s band I've seen since the 90s ended. Yep. My first impression was that Nirvana and Dishwalla had a baby. I don't know if Chris will agree with me, but that's my opinion. Anyway, thanks for the game codes you sent me. I still suck at Battle High 2 A+, but 6180 The Moon is fantastic in its minimalism. So,
and a shout out to Mr. David. He will be leaving for the desert on Monday, so I won't see him for 6 months.
Stay safe out there, and you'll probably be back in Pennsylvania by the time he's back anyway.
If I'm lucky. Yeah. Not that that's public knowledge or anything.
Well, yeah, now
right.
it is.
You're not incriminating yourself at all.
No, and besides, no one who listens to our show knows me.
No one listens to our show.
All right. Moving
that's
on.
That joke doesn't work anymore, technically.
He told me that, and I told him, you have to email. You have to email that. Because he's just a few years older than I am, and he grew up in the Seattle area. So he's well qualified to compare 90s bands. So when he said that,
see,
the whole
here's the thing, on, here's like, the thing about amazing. Big Wreck, though. Big Wreck formed out of Berkeley, so they're smart. Like they're intelligent about the way that they make their music.
The lead singer for Offspring has a PhD in fucking chemistry.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that great?
And yeah, and they sing about boobs and butts.
Well, sure. But he has a degree in music. Like
that just means they fuck around with too many time signatures.
Sometimes.
You know, let's get to some giveaways. How's right. that sound?
No.
We're going to mix news with some giveaways. First off, our friends at 10 Tons, they're the people who released awesome games like Sparkle and Crimson Land that Chris loves. And
I love Crimson
they released Land. Baseball Riot last month that we covered. Well, it just came out this week for the PS4 and the Vita, and they sent me a code. And I was like, you know what? I'm lucky enough to have it on the Xbox One, so I'm going to do a giveaway for it. And then they sent me two more codes, and so far we had one person write in. I said, tell us something awesome about baseball or something you like about baseball. So Daniel N. wrote in. He says, I don't suppose you still have a code for Baseball Riot. Anyway, I'm from Seattle, and Ken Griffey Jr. was recently inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame, which is pretty cool. And I agree, and I enjoyed the Ken Griffey games on the Super Nintendo, so he got a code for Baseball Riot.
Nice.
That's how easy it is to get shit on our show.
Yeah, just mention Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah, pretty much. And we still have two more codes, so if anyone's listening and you want Baseball Riot, guess what? You can probably get it.
Baseball.
You can probably get it.
Something you can't get anymore from us, the awesome people at Artifex Mundi, they are the ones who released Nightmares from the Deep. That was actually one of the first games that we got to review once we kind of shifted our focus on the show. They releasing a game that is out. By the time you hear this, it should be out right now. It's called Clockwork Tales. What's the full title here? Clockwork Tales of Glass and Ink. It releases on the 20th for $10. But they were cool enough to hook us up with a chunk of codes, and I put the call out on Twitter. If you want it, tell us why you want it. And a whole bunch of people told us why they want it, and a whole bunch of people got the game for free. So let's hear from them. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nathan Ashton sent us an email saying, good evening, SML. I'm emailing you in regards to Clockwork Tales on the Xbox One. Why do I want it? The fact that I love gaming and streaming it to my Twitch fans, the little amount that I have. I still enjoy it and hope the people that watch me play enjoy it as well. My hopes are one day to become a bigger streamer reviewing games that are not out yet, as well as doing podcasts. I enjoy your podcasts quite a bit, although I'm new to them, to be 100% honest. Don't worry.
Hey, wait.
Everybody's
new. Are you
new
giving
to us.
A code to somebody who's our future competition?
Possibly.
Maybe. Maybe.
No, I think his competition is who he mentions next. Thanks to Shiz Blacka on Twitch is the reason I found your podcast, and I enjoy them very much. I'd say about a month ago is when I found out about you guys. Keep up the good work. I was going to sugarcoat my answer in hopes to pull you in, but I found that honesty is my best policy. So the main reason I'm emailing you today in hopes of winning a code is to show my viewers what this game is about, giving them a taste and a full review, an unbiased opinion, and 100% true. I've recently come to notice that my viewers enjoy the newer games I've been playing, and that in my eyes gives me a rewarding feeling regardless of the view count I pull during the stream. If I do win, I hope you catch me streaming and join in on our chat. Thanks again for your time, Nathan Ashton. And guess what? He got a code.
Well, now the SML podcast will bomb your chat with swear words.
That's how easy it is. And then frequent emailer Jordan Phipps, he sent us an email. He's like, hey guys, I want Clockwork Tales mostly because I have a lot of Xbox One games, but no point-and-click puzzle games like Clockwork Tales. I think it'd be a fun game to play with my wife because she plays similar games on her phone. He got a code.
Yeah, As wasn't that the comment? You're like, hey, check out that game. I look at it. I'm like, hey, I'm pretty sure these are the games my ex-wife played on her iPad. And he's and Joe was like, I'm pretty sure it was this company's games that she played.
Probably
on the iPad.
Because Artifix Monday has a lot of games on phone, mobile, PC. And yeah. After Nightmares from the Deep did well on Xbox, hopefully they're going to port a bunch over.
Yeah, because I did one that was the H.P. Lovecraft Mythos years ago when I had my little Asus tablet, and it looks spot on like what this game's trailer looked like. So I wouldn't be surprised if I could actually remember the name of that game. I wouldn't be surprised if this was the same company.
Probably. Jon Snow, he was in our Banner Saga contest. He sent us an email. He said, hey, SML podcast crew, I definitely want the game, and I have the best reasons why you should give it to me. I just started listening to you guys, and I haven't won any contests yet. Nothing would give me more joy than to win Clockwork Tales and retweet you guys with all the glorious pictures of the game code redeemed and the thumbnail picture downloading. Thanks, John. Guess what? He got the game.
We enjoy the lovable losers who are just trying to win in life.
Yeah. And then some dickhead named Uneaten Lake wrote us, since Zach doesn't. Uneaten Lake is our new target. He said, because I must own and play every Xbox One game. He got a code.
Yeah, honesty.
He got a code. Then Nick Simpson wrote us. He said, I'd love a copy of the game if at all possible. My little sister's a big steampunk fan slash dork, and I showed her the trailer of this on YouTube, and she thinks it looks really fun. So guess what? Nick and his sister are going to play the game. Again, that's how fucking easy it is. And then Tembo Elephant wrote us and said, I love old school adventure games, and I'm so happy they're making a return and even coming to the Xbox One as well. I've played through Book of Unwritten Tales 2 and Goosebumps, and this one looks really fun and visually cool as well. Guess what, Tembo? You got the game. And now we're out of codes, so no one else gets the game.
No one else. So you need to email us for that game.
But don't worry. We will have other games to talk about later in the show that you could get for free. But first, we have an actual contest that we need to judge. Last episode, you heard us give away a copy of the Banner Saga, and our winner was Ms. Lana Lokers. Well,
the paintball.
Indeed, the paintball story. And now we have a whopping 6 entries that we have to judge for one single copy of Gone Home.
Oh, damn.
So we're going to break a lot of hearts right now.
We're going to break a lot of hearts.
To be fair.
Just like the game does.
To be fair, most of those hearts have already been sated by a Clockwork Tales code.
But I'm still going to judge based on the story.
Indeed. So let us start with Mr. Jordan Phipps here. Happy high school story. Hey guys, here's my story for the Gone Home contest. Every day on the way home from school, these freshman kids would always play Pokemon on the bus. Now this was in the early 2000s, so all their Game Boys were connected with a link cable. One day this asshole kid was getting off the bus and he had a pair of scissors and he cut the cable as they were playing. What a dickhead. They were obviously upset and mad, but they were freshmen and there wasn't much they could do. I saw this unfold and thought it was pretty messed up. When I got home, I dug through all my old video game stuff and found a link cable I never used anymore. The next day, I gave it to the kids and they were shocked and really appreciative. I ended up taking a community college class with one of the kids years later, and he still remembers how nice of a gesture that was. That is a cool fucking story.
Yeah, that's a very heartwarming tale. And the kid with the scissors, I hope you have chlamydia now.
I hope he got stabbed with those scissors.
See that? Maybe he was that kid on that video that gets the scissors in his arm.
I hope he gets...
Oh, God, those videos are crazy.
Stabbed with chlamydia scissors.
Oh, God, that's the worst.
Man, that's a good first entry. It's going to be tough to follow up.
That's a good punk band, Chlamydia Scissors.
Chlamydia Scissors.
And God, we've killed the Joe.
God,
oh,
damn
my
it.
God.
Scissors. Next up is Jon Snow. He writes in, when I was in 12th grade, I took an art class and became friends with a girl named Allison who was a couple grades younger. She always wore a knit cap and later revealed she was going through chemo for some kind of cancer. Later on in the school year, I was eating lunch with my friends and she passed by with her friends. My buddy made a joke about her hat that I didn't find very funny. I ended up getting in his face, basically WWE style, and told him that if he made fun of that girl anymore, there would be big problems. He played it off like it wasn't a big deal, but this was the last time he ever made a stupid comment like that again. Alice and I stayed friends after high school, and she's been cancer-free for over 5 years now. First off, congrats to Allison for being cancer-free. And second off, pulling the cancer card on a game story contest. Ooh. Damn.
I just love how natural it seems when you're a teenager. Like, oh yeah, my friend said something really toolish. Rather than be like, dude, that's not cool. Hey, don't say shit like that anymore. I got in his face WWE style. Because when you're a hormonal teenager, this makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When he said WWE style, I was kind of hoping this was going to segue into a second entry for the Punch Club contest about a fight. But sadly, we're not getting many fight stories. So
I mean, I can give you fight stories. I don't have like.
I had somebody tell me they had one at work this morning, and they better have emailed in. But anyhow.
Nope, they didn't. Those motherfuckers. So we have Pokemon kids and a cancer story. This is going to be a tough decision, and we still have four more entries.
Wow.
Next up is Nick Simpson. My happiest high school memory would be when I finally got up the courage to ask out the girl of my dreams who I had a crush on since fourth grade. I became entranced by her beautiful blue eyes as soon as I first saw them, but I was always too shy when I was younger to ever even be able to approach her. So finally, when I was a sophomore in high school, when we had the same lunch period, I went up to her table. I asked if she would want to go see a movie after school, and she said yes. It was the happiest I ever felt in a moment up until that time. Aww. What movie did you go see?
Dude, Where's My Car?
If we had the ages of these kids, we could probably make a pretty good scene.
I hope deep down, I hope it was Titanic, just because that's such a cliche high school date movie for me.
Yeah, but for us, I mean, most of the people writing the show, let's be honest, were probably not able to drive when Titanic came out.
I felt the girl's titties during Titanic.
During the movie?
During the movie.
What? I still say the best when I went out on a date and we saw Indiana Jones 4. And it was only like 2 weeks after the movie released, but we had the entire theater together, so we sat in the big double handicap seat.
And?
Oh, that's all.
And that was it. And he didn't feel the booby.
And then when the movie was over, we realized why we had the whole theater to ourselves.
Because the movie was bad?
Have you seen Indiana Jones 4?
I didn't. I thought that the whole alien thing was stupid.
Greaser Monkey.
But... I didn't mind the rest of it.
An animated monkey that looked just like Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Compared to the other Indiana Jones, it was horrible. Judging by itself, it's not horrible. Like
It was horrible.
It was.
It was horrible.
It was a good popcorn movie.
I think I would rather watch The First Human Centipede again than Indiana Jones 4.
No. Ooh. No. You're full of shit.
It's personal opinion. But it does. Emotions do have a play in it. The first three meant so much to me that I broke my heart seeing the fourth one.
Maybe I enjoyed it more because I saw it at a drive-in and I thought it felt good as a good drive-in movie.
Kalima.
I actually saw it with Ashley.
Kalima.
That shows you how old our relationship is.
Yeah.
I'm going to die soon. Next entry is from our reigning champion. What?
Whoa.
That I'm going to die soon? I'm old. I'm dying. We all know that.
Whoa.
I have high school cancer next.
This is like the heaviest
next.
Episode ever.
Next entry is from Lana Lokers, our reigning champion of contests. I went to a pretty big high school. My happiest memory was getting to leave school earlier and not having to come back for two more days after they shut down because of how bad a snowstorm was. Just before second period, there was a message from a principal saying that because it was getting so bad outside and only going to get worse, they were canceling all classes and activities for the rest of the day. I remember being so excited and relieved because I had a chemistry test right after lunch that I was not prepared for at all. I ended up not having to take it until the next week. Hooray for a blizzard.
And $20 says she still didn't study with the extra time.
Well, she won Banner Saga, but I have a feeling there's too much tough competition to win this one with a Blizzard story.
Yeah.
Next up is Tembo Elephant. The happiest I've ever been at high school was during sophomore year. I was always being bullied by this dumb football jock, Mike, a senior. Fucking Mike. We were in the same speech class, and he would always try to trip me every time I walked past his desk to get to mine, throw broken pencils and paper clips at the back of my head, and other annoying things. No one in the class liked him because he was constantly being disruptive and a jerk, and our football team sucked and only won one game that year. So for our final project, So for our final project, we could choose any time of activity we wanted to do for our final speech. I chose a stand-up comedy slash roast routine and wrote a whole bunch of jokes about Mike and making fun of him and our terrible football team. I could see his face getting redder and angrier as more and more people in class were laughing. It was such a cathartic experience to finally get back at him after an entire year of putting up with him.
If the teacher let him get away with that, then the teacher must have thought the kid was an asshole, too, because that crosses a few lines there.
Yeah,
probably. That's pretty fantastic, though.
It's like I took that engineering class my senior year because it was and there was that freshman douchebag no one liked, and he kept picking on my little brother who was in the same class. So I just kept egging the kid on until one day he punched me in the back of the head. And he's like a foot and a half shorter than me, so, you know, it did nothing. But I made sure I don't even know the kid's name, honestly. My brother might. But I made sure to egg him on when the teacher was in the room. So when he punched me, he got caught, and he got fucking detention. And everyone in the class just got to laugh at him. So
nice. All right. Final entry is from a new name, Nick Nunn. I wonder if he, like, put in his first name, and then it's, like, last name, and he just put Nunn.
Nunn. That's his ancestors came over. What is your last name? Nunn. We have no last name. Okay, well, last name Nunn. There you go.
Well, we have Nick Simpson and Nick Nunn, so I have Nick S and Nick N, just because they have to make it all difficult for us.
Nick at night.
Anyway, my best high school memory was the time I was nearly involved in a riot. Oh, God. Okay, let me explain. We had a school store open in our school, which sold merchandise, shirts, hoodies, posters with our entire school emblems, stuff like that, as well as things like school supplies, backpacks, notebooks. Well, got a job there just before the start of my junior year and before school started. And as one of my jobs, I was in charge of marketing and marking and pricing everything in the store. Well, I decided it would be a funny thing to mark everything for a way lower price than it was supposed to be, and it went unnoticed until the first day of school when the first couple of students showed up that morning to pick up school supplies they needed. And once they saw the market prices, word spread via gossip and texts and social media, and the next thing I know, this tiny little storefront in the rotunda of our school is swarming with students trying to get in, attempting to buy dirt-cheap clothing and school supplies, and jam-packed to capacity. Once the other employees and students saw the wrong prices, attempted to do damage control and close the doors, but it was too late. When asked, I claim no knowledge of marking anything in the store.
Again, that's another thing where, as a teenager, that's funny. As an adult, I'm just horrified. Like,
that's amazing.
I'm thinking, like, oh, hey, way to try and bankrupt the school that actually has a store for school supplies in it, you know?
Oh, my God. So I'm trying to remember, did we specifically ask for a happy high school memory or just best?
I think for that guy, he sounded pretty happy about it.
True.
I wasn't around when you made the competition, so I'm not sure.
I don't remember. We still need to pick the best story out of the six. We have the Pokemon Link cable, the cancer student standing up to a bully, the high school date, getting out of a chem test because of a blizzard, roasting the school dickhead, and a price malfunction riot.
I'm torn between the first two, honestly, because the Pokemon one, you know, that's a really good-hearted long-term gesture.
Yeah. But
cancer one is just really sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I personally, I'm leaning towards the Pokemon story just because we're gamers. Walking by and cutting someone's cord, like, that's
right. I think
the reason I like that one the most is because they were strangers, you know. The second one was amazing defense of a wonderful person but it was someone that you were friends with. And, you know, you also diffused the situation with another friend. This Pokemon one was straight up like, you could have ignored that and just been like, hey, what a dick, and then walked off and been about the rest of your life. He actually went home, found the cable, gave it to kids he didn't know.
And made two kids super happy.
Yeah, right. To the point that one of them remembered him years later.
Yeah,
let's go with the – I'm going with the Pokemon.
I like that one. I like that one.
All right, well, Jordan Phipps, congrats. You are winning – you are the winner of our Gone Home contest. Sorry to everyone else. Unfortunately, we only did have the one code, but most of you got – Clockwork Tales codes anyway.
And also, so. We give away shit so often, you will have future opportunities.
Yeah, we have plenty of shit to give away still. So don't you worry. We got the hookup. And we could lead off with one story, or one of the giveaways right now. One of the games that we need to discuss this week, one of our featured titles, is Rebel Galaxy, developed and published by Double Damage Games. It released back on January 13th for $19.99, and due to how hectic all of our lives are getting, the awesome Uneaten Lake has stepped up and offered to review the game for us. So we hooked him up with the review code, and we still have one more code for the game, so we're going to think of a giveaway so someone else can get a copy of Rebel Galaxy for the Xbox One.
Well, it's called Rebel Galaxy, so we want to hear your emails about the time you overthrew a small nation.
Tell us about the time you conquered Mars.
I don't recall.
Ah, fuck.
Well, you guys think of an idea for...
Well, I don't even know what the game's about. Let's hear the review.
You say, you guys think of a legit idea for a contest while I read another email. actually, I'm going to crack open a drink because I'm already getting cotton mouth, and I have so much more talking to do this episode.
You made the Schwarzenegger joke, so I'm like, so what you need to do is email us and tell us your favorite Schwarzenegger movie and why it's Last Action Hero.
Telling us the favorite Schwarzenegger movie might be a good one, but let's...
No, I don't really mean that. I wanted to say that sentence and move on, so...
All right, SML. Rebel Galaxy is a new game from Double Damage Games. You may not have heard of DDG, but you're bound to have heard of the games that Travis Baldry and Eric Schaefer have worked on in the past. Torchlight, Torchlight 2, Diablo, Diablo 2, Hellgate London. Four of the five games I just listed are all top-down RPGs. Rebel Galaxy is a whole different type of game, so don't expect another Torchlight or Diablo clone. Chris. We currently have three space-based shooter RPG-type games on the Xbox One to choose from. When Rebel Galaxy was released, I saw a few posts online of people saying things like, another one, or don't we have enough space games? Those comments to me are a tad uninformed because Elite Dangerous, Starpoint Gemini 2, and Rebel Galaxy are very different games. Sure, they all take place in space and you fly a ship, but I can tell you from experience each game has its own audience. I think Elite Dangerous is a game I would recommend if you're a super fan of the genre. Starpoint Gemini 2 I would recommend to people who might be intimidated by Elite Dangerous, or if you just like Bulgarian terrorists who develop video games. Then we have Rebel Galaxy, which I feel is the most casual out of the three and is probably a good starting point to jump into the genre. The game's music is great and almost makes you feel like you're playing a Firefly game. The whole space cowboy theme is pretty strong. I'm not a country blues music fan, but the music in Rebel Galaxy reminds me a lot of the Barren Womb, though it's not as punk metal sounding. Chris, do you know Barren Womb?
No.
Baron von Womb?
Just Barren Womb.
I was making a comic book joke.
I know. The game soundtrack is actually a mixture of multiple artists, but the standouts so far are the tracks by Blues Saraceno? I don't know. Check out the song Evil Ways off the album Garage Blues, various artists' album. That seems to be my favorite song so far. Gameplay is smooth and a lot less demanding than a game like Starpoint Gemini 2. You fly and battle on a flat plane, happy, which is to say you don't have 360-degree flight and combat. This is probably one of the reasons why I would recommend the game for beginners, as it's less likely you'll end up getting lost or killed because you can't figure out where you're being attacked from.
So Pappy. Did he say Pappy, or did you? Are you just adding?
I am. Okay. I'm adding that, obviously. Your first intro into combat will probably throw you into using your broadside cannons. When playing with these weapons, the game almost feels like a naval battle game that takes place in space. Side note, I have heard a lot of comparisons of the battles and the fighting in Rebel Galaxy being a lot like the naval battles in Assassin's Creed Black Flag. So that might be something to think of if you're interested in checking it out. The game features an interesting story with great characters, a ton of ship upgrades, and different ships you can purchase, side missions, random battles that you can engage in or try to escape from. Graphics are nice as well. I would advise doing side missions and getting credits in order to upgrade your ship, get better shields, hull, weapons, etc. They will help you out in the long run. The achievements in the game are a mixture of story-based progression and a bit of grinding. It doesn't look like anything impossible on the list, and I would guess you would get close to some of the grind achievements just by playing through the game. Difficulty-wise, the game isn't hard to pick up and play. Most people should be able to do well with this game versus Elite Dangerous or Starpoint Gemini. The space battles can get intense at times, but if you pay attention to the different types of...
Yeah, exactly.
I'm doing a lot of talking here. The space battles can get intense at times, but if you pay attention to the different types of weapons you have and upgrade your ship, you should be in good shape. I would recommend this game for just about anyone who likes action-based space games or anyone new to the genre. After beating this game, I would recommend going to Starpoint Gemini 2 and then to Elite Dangerous last. Thanks to SML and Double Damage Games for letting me check out this game.
You're welcome.
I'm trying to let you guys talk so I could breathe.
No, I'm still trying to think of it. I mean, honestly, the game doesn't go into like, hey, email us this story. You know what I mean? Like
right.
You do with like Punch Club where fights or, you know, Gone Home, you know, being in school and all that. But I don't know. With this one, I just fuck. I'm up for just something random.
How about just tell us why you want the game?
Yeah, just that one's easy.
Whoever has the best reasoning gets it. We only have one code. So
it better be good.
Yeah.
Lead off with a joke. Maybe a pirate joke.
Yar.
I don't like it.
No.
Did a pirate kill your family?
No.
Yar. He's driving me nuts.
Yar.
Yar.
Oh my lord, what is wrong with us? So lots. Yeah. Sounds like
also,
an awesome game. Rebel Galaxy. Fuck yeah.
I just got part of this information. My gig on Sunday is canceled.
Good. So
I don't know what's going on with Boston yet, but we'll see.
Isn't Sunday the Philly one?
Yep, that one's canceled.
So Boston might still be a thing.
I'm still waiting to find that out.
Nice. All right. Well, let's dive into some of the other featured games. I figure I'll start off with one, and then I could take a break while Pappy talks about something.
Yeah.
So let's kick things off with Summon Night 5. This is developed by Bandai Namco, localized and published by Gaijin Works, or Gaijin Works. Gaijin.
Yeah. Aka Gaijin.
Yeah, that's me. It was released back in December on the 15th for $30.99. Weird price, but I'll explain that in a second. And it was released, believe it or not, for the PSP.
Why?
It is because it's a PSP game from like 2013 that just never came to America. And Gaijin Works, they feature, or their specialty is taking... Japanese releases that no one else is going to take a risk on in America and bringing them here. It is digitally available and compatible with the Vita, and it looks fucking gorgeous on the Vita's OLED screen.
You're making all sorts of noises over there.
I know. Dude, I'm talking so much. The price point is fun because the game was originally supposed to be $34.99, and Gaijin Works, they held a Twitter campaign where people would tweet and retweet about the game, And the more people tweeted about it, the lower the price got. So it wasn't a sale. It's just permanently reduced to $30.99.
Oh, so that's cool.
I think that's a cool little campaign.
Yeah.
The game is, if you're not familiar with the Summon Knight franchise, it's been released on the Game Boy Advance and the DS previously. The fifth game is... I initially went in expecting it to be like the others and a heavy strategy RPG kind of game. This game is a lot more like a visual novel. And believe it or not, it took me an hour before I got to the first battle in the game. That's how much story. It is heavy story in the game. You have a choice between two characters in the beginning, male or female. And then you have a cross, which is kind of like a summon that you are permanently linked to. You don't get to choose which one. You get to choose one of four different items that you can give to the cross. And that determines what the character is going to be and who you have. Someone actually asked me if you could, if you're able to have a romance between the one, your character, and the one specific cross. And I don't know, because I got a completely different cross and I used a different starting character. So sorry to the person who tweeted asking. Story-wise, pretty solid, very dialogue heavy. As I mentioned, the battles themselves, strategy RPG, the game is not going to hold your hand. Like, there's not much in the way of tutorials and learning things. You basically have a couple of text prompts pop up explaining the battle system, and then here. Because when you think about it, if you're looking at this game, you know the franchise, you know strategy games, you know what you're getting into. This game basically already assumes you know what the fuck you're doing. The visually, for a PSP game, holy shit, it looks good. Like, I didn't realize the PSP could still crank out visuals this nice. For $31, it's kind of steep for what it is, but I appreciate the risk that Gaijin Works is taking releasing the game here, and I would rather pay $31 to play it than not have the opportunity to play it at all. So if you are a fan of strategy RPGs and you are looking for a reason to either dust off your PSP or download something new on the Vita, give it a go, because it's pretty goddamn good. Any questions?
Bueller.
Pappy, talk about something.
Hey, what's the name of the game I played yesterday?
Your game that you played, your single game, Death by Game Show, developed and published by Untag Games. It releases January 22nd, so it should be out now by the time you're hearing this. It is a Steam release, and it is $15.
It is a game. I streamed it yesterday. I had no knowledge of what the game was like other than watching a couple videos before I went live. And as Joe can tell you, I was hilariously terrible at it.
So bad.
So it is basically a tower defense game. You are a human in the 26th century, and humans are stupid. So even though you're smarter than all the robots are like, you're a human, you're going to be on our game show until you die. Death by Game Show. So you have to beat what is like 100 levels or 50 levels or something like that. I got to 7 after an hour, and that includes the tutorial levels. What it essentially is you are chained to a GIMP. It's actually stands for something, but it's basically a floating locker chained to your leg, and it releases creatures, drill bots, bomb bots, flying bombs, stuff like that. And you have to earn a certain amount of money within the time allotted for every level by blowing up enemies, collecting coins, and blowing up their buildings. You also get unlocks for buildings and stuff. But I got to just the fifth or sixth level, and I actually died so much the game auto-reduced the challenge level.
Yeah.
From 100, I was playing it at 60%, 70%, and at one point the game just went, okay, you're at 10% now. 10% challenge rating, and it still took me two or three tries to beat the level. It is not easy. Now, granted, if you hit tab, it pauses the game. You can queue up what you're going to release from the GIMP. You can put down buildings and stuff. I did not use the tab because I was getting so into, like, all right, real time, defend this shit, you know, earn the money, blow up the stuff. It's fun. Like I said, I died a lot, but I kept playing. I played for a solid hour. I enjoyed every minute of it.
I thought you went longer than an hour, actually.
Yeah, no, probably. But will I play this more? Not much more. I'll play it a little bit more, see if I can get a little bit farther at 10% difficulty. But it's not a game that I'm going to play till I beat. But if you're a tower defense fan, this game is fun, and it's funny as hell. I did not have time to read all the shit that all the robots were saying as I'm releasing them or as they're attacking me. There's just so much funny stuff
just
going on.
The amount of pop culture references in the game, and the fact that the game description itself references that it's set in a world similar to Idiocracy.
Yeah.
That's, you know, amazing right there.
I already forgot. I think, was it calling me a jive ass or a weak ass when I died?
Oh, God, like the game probably just straight up
made fun of you. Yeah, and the game, when I quit the game, it also made fun of me and called me a loser.
Really?
Yeah. When I logged, you know, because I ended the stream and I logged off the game, and it pretty much just called me a loser for quitting.
Come back, so, pussy.
Yeah, so it's a fun game. It's $15 worth. If that's your genre, you will get $15 out of it, hands down.
Use the tab key.
Use the tab key.
Don't be a pappy.
Because if you overextend your GIMP, it crash. It like falls over, and you can't release anything for a minute. So
don't,
I got murdered.
Don't be a pappy.
And it's super easy controls. You click on what you want to release. A is left, D is right, W is to go into the rocket when you've, you know, unlocked the escape, and that's it.
Cool. Anything else you want to say about the game?
No. If I died a lot.
I died a lot.
I put that out there on Twitter.
Would you give it thumbs up, thumbs down?
I'd give it a thumbs up. Nice. Again, if it's your, it's not my genre, and I still had fun. So if it's your genre and you don't enjoy it, well then, I'm sorry, you're just a grumpy person.
Like Pappy.
Ooh.
Grumble, grumble. Next game to discuss is, I was pretty excited that we got the thumbs up on this one. The Deadly Tower of Monsters, developed by Ace Team, who you might know is the team behind Abyss Odyssey, Rock of Ages, Xenoclash, published by Atlus, which made me all tingly inside. It released on the 19th for $14.99 on the PS4 and Steam. If you're a PlayStation Plus member, you could get it for $10. I believe it's also $10 on Steam for the first 2 weeks. So there's a limited time sale on it. It is ridiculous. Imagine, it's basically the game of a 50s movie. Like a campy sci-fi, like the main character's name is Dick Starspeed. So
hey, that's my porn name.
So there are plenty of dick jokes in the game, obviously. The game from beginning to end is narrated by a director, and at the beginning, like, the legal text is on screen, and he's like, I'm the director, and I'm doing the director's commentary for this DVD re-release of The Deadly Tower of Monsters. That's the nice game that this is.
Nice.
He commentates everything. Like, you go into the options menu, and he's like, man, in my day, we just had VHS. We didn't have all these fancy options. You start the game, you're running around. It is pure 50s style camp of like stop motion creatures, guys in suits. The first big boss you fight is a giant monkey who captures Dick. He grabs Dick. He just playing with Dick. And
with a dick.
The female hero comes in and he says, it was a big deal at the time that we had the female saving the male for once. Just he would make commentary on the trees being plasticky, the game would cut to black and white and say that they originally planned it as a silent film, so they already filmed some stuff in black and white and had title cards. When the male and the female are finally united and fight together, since it's a single player game, you can only use one character, they go to explain why only one player could be used and the other has to stay in like a sleep chamber. But the film breaks and glitches. And by the time it's over, they moved on with the story. He's like, oh, it just missed a big scene there. Why explain why one of them has to stay in a sleep chamber? It was really important, but whatever. Let's get on with the movie.
Okay. It is
just this is a game that, Pappy, I think you need to play. Being the movie buff, you would lose your mind playing this.
But is it on Steam or Xbox?
I already said it's on Steam.
Oh, I ignored you. That was so long ago.
Gameplay-wise, it is kind of like an action hack and slash game with shooting. It has a couple of cool little sequences in there where they have a vertigun where you kind of like peek over a ledge and you're shooting down at things coming up. I think they should have went 3D on this game because it would have been really cool. The entire game has a VHS style film grain effect to it, which is recommended. They also have VHS style audio where like all the bass cuts out and it sounds like it's coming from like a shitty mono speaker TV. It is just the amount of care and authenticity that went into this insane little game is fantastic. Most of the games that we review on this show, we don't have the chance to fully complete in the time that we're doing these shows. I beat the game. It was about
how long?
4.5 hours.
Okay. What's it called again?
The Deadly Tower of Monsters. And it should be $10 on Steam right now for the first 2 weeks.
Oh, it's $9.89.
Ooh.
And I'm buying it.
It is just ridiculous. I hope it comes to Xbox, because if it does, I will buy it, because the game is just that stupidly entertaining and fun. The one review I saw said that if it weren't for the director, it would just be a serviceable hack and slash game, which I could kind of understand, but I liked the game. Like, I had fun with the actual gameplay of it, so the director's commentary just amped up the humor to a million for me.
Awesome.
Heavily recommend that you check out this game. It's worth it. It is absolutely worth it. I absolutely loved my time with it.
As soon as I'm done with Punch Club.
Speaking of, Chris, you played Punch Club.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about it.
Sorry, I'm chewing on a cracker.
God damn it.
That's while we're waiting for him to swallow.
Okay.
Is the game I've played more on this on Steam than any other game I own. I've actually unlocked 28 of 42 achievements, and
my next
highest is like 3.
Wow. So Punch Club, developed by Lazy Monkey Studios,
I don't know.
Published by Tiny Build. It's available on Steam now for,
I
believe,
the third time
10
we talk
bucks.
About it on the show.
I still want to give the proper credit for it when I can.
It's already one of my we're 21 days into it. This is probably going to be one of my top 5 games of the year.
Yeah. And if you still don't have it, we still have 2 codes to give away. Just email us telling us a good story about a fight that you got into.
The SMLpodcast@gmail.com.
And again, it's got to be a funny or fun story about a fight. Nothing sad and depressing like you got your ass kicked every day and then you had to drop out of school.
Yeah, we don't want that.
So, Chris, Punch Club, tell us your thoughts on it.
So Punch Club, I'm glad that they end up having a mobile version of it, because when I sat down to play it the first time, I was just like, oh, man, this would actually work really well on a mobile platform. I did not know that it was essentially like a resource management type of game.
Yeah. It's more of a dating sim style than a
yeah.
game.
I wasn't prepared for that. And even the combat system, I was just like, okay, maybe you just like you hit punch and then you hit kick or you do that, and it's like, nope, you pick a couple abilities that are branched out from a skill tree. And you select like four abilities or however many abilities, I believe it was four that you start off with. You pick those many abilities that you can use, and it just randomly swaps between them and uses them whenever it damn near feels like. I still haven't really figured out if there's like a rhyme or reason to when they happen.
There is.
Is there?
Yeah, there's a percentage of you using it within each shot. So the game's going to decide, like, oh, you're being punched and you have dodge. So you're going to try and dodge. It'll compare your percentage to dodge versus their percentage to hit, and then basically run the numbers behind the scenes.
Interesting.
So it's basically like D&D, where each action has a dice roll and it just compares.
Yeah, but if you have your skills good, because you look at your opponent's skills, and you can decide how to do yours to directly counter theirs or overcome them. And then your stats are what will decide it.
Right. And then even still, like, but the main thing, the main actual like gameplay portion of it, I guess you can call it, is just literally just managing your energy, your health, and your hunger.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much like almost like a Sims kind of thing ish.
Yeah, but I unlocked a lot of these over the course of like a 12-hour playthrough on Saturday, something like that.
Good Lord,
it's fun, dude. Chris, I was actually streaming it. I made a character named Old Balls, and but I decided I got to a point where I defeated a bear, and I have to go fight Ivan Geef, the Russian, and.
You're like, way, well, way deep,
yeah, but
down the rabbit
but I'm
hole.
Like, I don't want to, you know, I'm having fun with the stream. I don't want to lose. I want the stream to go pick up from here. So, but I still wanted to play. So I made another character, named him Young Balls, and I'm way ahead of even where I was streaming after a day. Because your first playthrough, picking your abilities, you're gonna do something wrong.
Oh yeah, of course.
So second playthrough, when I figured out what I was doing, oh yeah, yeah. Have you at least fought one of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Crocodiles?
Yes, I have.
Okay. You have to beat all four of them.
Oh.
Yes, what? the well-known Ninja Crocodiles, Bill, Mark, Gabe, and Steve. you keep going back and ask about the spicy pizza. He's going to be like, oh, we have too many deliveries. So go do two deliveries, come back, ask about it again, and then he'll send you back to the sewers. And then you're done...
Yeah, I've done that, yeah.
Who's the Mark?
Once you've done that four times, then their master, a raccoon, will teach you a tail slap ability, which you can't use because you don't have a tail.
I'm trying to think. Bill, Mark...
Bill is Leonardo, Mark is Donatello, Gabe is Raphael,
all right,
and Steve.
Bill, Mark, Gabe, and Steve. So Bill Gates, Gabe Newell, and Steve Jobs. Who's Mark?
Oh, shit.
Zuckerberg.
Maybe.
Hey, nice putting those together.
As soon as I heard Gabe, I'm like, there's reasons for Bill,
Gabe is,
Steve.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at the other.
That's cool. What's the master's name?
I don't remember, honestly. And it's not an achievement, so I can't just cheat and look at it.
And it's not an achievement, so I don't give a shit.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, I can't tell you.
You son of a bitch.
I thought it was funny.
So, Chris, anything else about Punch Club? Anything else you want to share on that game? I'm trying to get you involved in our reviews here.
I know. I would say, if anything, like if you like resource management games, I didn't test to see if. Well, no, it's not like that. So, if you play games like Clicker Heroes and stuff like that you just kind of play in between your other games, it's a good time waster in that front. There's a lot of stuff to do in the game, surprisingly. It goes on for a lot longer than I thought it would.
Oh God! It's
and there's so many different like there's so many different references and so many different like it branches off and goes as like a bunch of weird ways that you didn't think it would go to. I don't know. It's really interesting. It's not what I had initially thought it was going to be, but I was pleasantly surprised on what I got instead.
Nice. They just call him Master Raccoon.
Yeah.
Master Raccoon.
All right, next
but it
game.
It's good. I would thumbs up it.
Nice.
But I would say, if anything, it definitely would yield itself to a mobile platform really well. So I would say, if anything, try and get it on like your phone or...
Well, it's available now on iOS, and I believe by the end of the month it's going to be on Android.
So I would
I could imagine... If I, even just getting it on like a little tablet, man, I could kill so much mm-hmm. time at an airport.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it to Windows Phone.
mm-hmm.
Next game is called Klaus. It is developed and published by Lacosa Entertainment. It released on January 19th for $19.99 on the PS4. Fun little story. I did something crazy with this game.
You played it?
Streamed it. Yeah. Yes. How's that for crazy?
An alarm.
Since I got for the PS4, I'm like, you know what? I haven't done the streaming on here at all. Why? Fuck it. Why not? So if you're interested in seeing me play it, check out our YouTube channel. There's a near 90-minute playthrough of me going through the first full world and then a big chunk of the second world. It's a fairly large and long game from what I've seen so far. It starts off action platformer, you know, kind of Meat Boy style where you're running, jumping over spike pits, everything else. There are hidden secret little areas that you can go to that have their own little twists on different puzzles in the game. Like you have super high jumping powers, or it's a mirrored stage where there's someone on top and bottom with different obstacles that you control at the same time. There was one where you were just falling and you had to steer your way through spikes the whole time, which was kind of brutal. That one took me a couple of tries. As you get further into the game, I'm not too sure how much it varies deeper into the game, since I've only had a bit of time with it so far. I'm actually hoping to get someone from the team on our show to cover it in more depth later. After the first main boss, you unlock a second character that's like a hulked up version of you, where instead of having a double jump, he has one jump, but he can do an uppercut and punch things and like glide, like a slow parachute style glide. He can also punch obstacles, and you have to control them both. And it turns from action game to more puzzle game, where there's sections where you can control them. You can control them both. You can toggle between them with the triangle button, or you can hold R1 and move them together, which for some of the action sections is better. And then some of the puzzle areas, you just got to go one at a time. And, you know, you can eventually, like, the big dude can hit the little dude to get to smaller areas. And then the small dude can hack terminals to do things. But the big dude is like a big dumb guy, so he just smashes the fucking terminal instead. I was really, really lucky, because when I was streaming it, there was someone who jumped into the chat and was just watching and didn't really say anything, because I was on the PS4. I don't have the camera. I didn't have a headset hooked up. So I was just playing it, and out of nowhere, when I started the second world, the music dropped. And apparently that's a glitch with the game that they're going to be releasing a patch for next week. But that's when the viewer commented. He's like, hey, sorry about this, but that's actually a known bug. I'm the composer and the designer on the game.
Damn.
So he jumped in. Vic Velasco, I believe his name is. He was in the chat, and I was just talking with him about the game and saying try to get him on possibly. He spilled the beans. I don't know how public knowledge this is, but he said it in the chat, and it's on YouTube, so I guess it's public enough. The game is going to be coming to Xbox One sometime, which I'm excited about. I'm not sure how the touchpad stuff is going to work on the Xbox version. If you played Rayman Legends on the Wii U, where they had the different stages where you would need to use the screen to like move platforms and shit like that. You use the touchpad on the PS4 controller to like open gates or to hit a platform, and then use the analog stick to drag it left and right or up and down. It's really, really cool use of the touchpad. The speaker on the controller gets used. It makes use of a lot of different functions that PS4 games kind of seem to avoid anymore. $20 seems kind of steep for it, but from what I've seen, the game is really fucking long, so I'm sure it's going to be worth the price. Just watch a gameplay trailer, because it's not going to be for everyone. It can get difficult. And just the switch from action platforming to puzzle, it just kind of threw me for a loop. And I'm like, wow, this is a completely different game than I expected. It's definitely worth checking out, though. So,
cool.
There's that.
How many more games?
Well, we could...
17.
I'm trying to think what the fuck I could have you guys talk about.
Shit, dude. No, I mean, I covered the two games I played.
AIPD we could talk about next week, because that comes out next week. Zeros we're going to be covering on Saturday. Fingers
now,
crossed that
okay.
He doesn't get the flu again.
And this weekend at some point, we will be playing Fortified, correct?
Yeah, we should be. Me, you, and Shiz Brakadu. I feel bad, Chris. We didn't really ask you because of how busy you are with traveling and stuff. There's a game called Fortified that... It's like an online horde mode-ish style thing.
Oh,
but, I look forward to being the weakest link.
But you're never here, so
I know.
It's hard to set up a play date with you when you're in Boston.
Play with us.
Clockwork Tales, I'm sure we'll get to next week. Red Game Without a Name is a new game for Vita. I just got it today. It is... kind of like an auto flying game. I'll talk more about that on another episode. It's really cool for $5. Sparkle 2 we could talk about next week. Going down the list here of just all games we have to cover. Dinocide. There we go.
I thought you covered that on Tuesday.
Dinocide? No. Yeah. We mentioned it.
Okay. Because you're running out of throat here.
I am. That's why you fuckers need to play more. Dude,
yeah, sure.
Chris is going to have a game to talk about next week.
I will.
Let me just not go to my job and see how that works out.
Yeah, right.
Chris, do you want to mention the game you're going to be able to talk about more in depth next week?
Yeah, I'm excited. You ready?
Yeah.
Blood Bowl 2.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it took you this long. I guess you had to find time to play it, huh?
No,
I just got it.
We just got a code this week for Blood Bowl 2. So,
I'm surprised Chris didn't buy the game like it came out. Like,
here, whoa. You know what happened? Rock Band DLC happened.
Yeah, that'll do it.
But Chris now has an official assignment to play Blood Bowl 2.
And ooh. I already started playing it, but I'll give you full impressions next week.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about it so far.
So Joe can have a drink of water.
Yeah, and
so I can breathe.
I'm doing on another cracker.
God damn it, Chris.
I know.
How big are these crackers?
It's a Crunch Cast. I can't help it. Okay. So, I played the one on the PC, Cyanide Blood Bowl. Graphically, it wasn't the greatest, but it did everything that it needed to as far as being an accurate representation of the tabletop game, because I've played the tabletop game. By the way, if you've looked at the pictures of Blood Bowl and you thought, oh, maybe this will be like Mutant League Football, it's not like Mutant League Football. It's a tabletop done by Games Workshop, which are the guys that do like Warhammer and stuff like that. Basically, the idea of the game is it's like a, what is it? It's like 1,000-some years in the future or something like that. And it's in the Warhammer universe, and they're digging up through this area, and they find an old NFL playbook or an NFL rule book, which they call the Nuffle. And they
the Nuffle?
Nuffle. NFL Nuffle.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so basically, like, they have their own interpretation of what football is. And
kind of like
their...
for those of you who play Fallout 4 and talk to the baseball guy about clubbers and all of that. Much more violent interpretation of sport.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it's like orcs and there's different races. There's like orcs, humans, and all these other kind of stuff. But, so playing the newer version, the first thing I recognized, the graphics were like insanely good comparative to the last one, obviously.
Well, the last one came out like what, fucking 8 years ago?
It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But holy shit, does this run like so smooth? It does do a good job of explaining like all the information that you need to know. I haven't gotten a chance to dabble with any kind of like I've done the online leaks before on the PC version, but I obviously I'm not in one right now, so I can't test it on the two. So I might try and see if I could find like a public league that I could just join for a little while. I haven't gotten to mess around with what other classes there are yet because I'm going to try and attempt to play through some of the campaign because I'm assuming that's how most people are going to play through it the first time.
That's fair.
So so I did the tutorial thing. I already know how to play the game, so it was kind of like... But it does a good job of explaining what, you know, how everything works. So if you haven't played it before or have any you know, idea of how to, it should explain it relatively well for you. It is a turn-based thing, so it's essentially like, you know, I move all my guys and then I pass, and then you move all your guys and then pass. And you know,
so it's not a sports game.
It is technically...
It's not a traditional sports
game.
It's
a tabletop game.
No, it's a tabletop game. So it's the best way that I can kind of describe it is try and think of chess, but you're trying to play football with chess pieces.
No, turn-based strategy, violent football.
Pretty much, yeah.
Nice.
Like, you can literally, like, kill players. And it affects, like, the roster permanently. Like, you get, and I did this in the tabletop version. You know, I was playing somebody else's team, and they had one specific character that, like, when that player scores a touchdown or, like, you know, it severely injures a player, you'll get star player points. And then you use that to upgrade them and get them different abilities and skills and stuff. So... I'm facing off against this guy. It is literally first turn, first play of the first turn. I throw a block on his like star play, the one that he's been like leveling up all this shit. I kill him instantly. And now killed him. Like meant that like, he was dead. He's gone forever. You can't do anything about it. He's dead. Like
wow.
So all of
melt down the pewter figurine.
Yeah, he's gone. Like, so all of the time that he had been buffing up this guy through the course of the preseason until we met, you know, somewhere mid-season, he was dumping everything he had into this one guy, and I just killed him in the first place.
I feel like that's a bad plan anyway.
No, you have to diversify.
Yeah.
It's like stocks and bonds. You got to diversify.
So you got to diversify.
But yeah. Put all your money into AP. You gotta diversify a little bit.
But it's good. I think it's a good representation of the tabletop. And if you ever had any kind of, you know, interest in the tabletop before, playing this version is
cheaper in the long run.
Oh, absolutely. You don't have to worry about painting, you know, painting.
It's pewter free. Plastic free if you go digital. But you could tell us more about that next week. I guess the final game we could talk about this week is called Dinocide. It is developed and published by Atomic Torch Studio. It released on the 21st on Steam for $9.99. This is like old school 8-bit 2D platforming, heavily in the vein of like Adventure Island.
Okay.
You know, stage-based, you go through start to end, kill enemies, platforming, making jumps, don't die. There are four different weapons you could pick up. Your initial weapon is a stone that you chuck at enemies. You can also pick up an axe that you chuck at enemies, which is basically a stronger version of the stone. You can pick up an arrow, which flies much further, but is kind of weaker. And then there's a boomerang, which is like fucking baller weapon. It goes decently far and then shoots up and around, and it hits everything in the way. Everything except the stone is limited, where if you have to find it in the stage, and if you die with it, you lose it. You could bank them up. Like, if you finish a stage with an axe and you just want to go back to the stones the next stage, you could, and hold on to that axe. Then there are also dinosaurs that you can run into, as the game is caveman era-esque. Different dinosaurs in different stages, like an underwater stage, there's a Nessie-style dinosaur where you have better underwater maneuverability, and his attack is a stronger distance attack. There's one that can walk in fire. There's one that moves well on ice and does like a shock ice attack. Again, if you die with it, it's gone. So it's,
that's a bummer.
It's very much about not losing your shit if you can. The game wasn't too hard from what I've played so far. I did hit kind of like a wall where it was just a bunch of frustrating deaths in a row, and I kind of took a break from it. It is, it's not the most polished game. It has some rough spots. The health in the game is kind of like a constantly depleting health, kind of like Adventure Island, but when you pick up fruit, it replenishes it. So technically, if you get hit and you have, you know, health left, you don't die. If you run out of time, you don't die until you get hit, and then you die on the stage. Or if you fall in pits, Ooh. Shit like that. The timer goes down a little bit quicker than I would have liked. There's not a heavy emphasis on exploring in the game, although it does have some branching areas that you can explore. I didn't see a way to replay any stages. I don't know if if it's just not there, or if it's basically go through and that's it. There's shops that you can stop in some stages where you spend gems that you find in stages. You could buy weapons, or you could buy food, or you could buy a dinosaur egg to store. It is pretty neat. For $10, it's a cool little worthwhile purchase to check out. There is gamepad support, so it worked great with the Xbox One controller. When I first played it, there was a nasty little bug where if you would go into the stage and then they have the menu where you could pick your weapon and dinosaur, if you would hit the B button to go back, you couldn't do anything.
Oh, that sucks.
That's
like the game completely halted. Like, the game was running, but nothing on the controller worked. Nothing at, like, I would exit the game, go back. The only way to fix it was to delete the save file. They told me that it was patched, and I updated the game. I didn't run into the issue again, so I believe it is fixed, but just in case, like, your version isn't updated, make sure it's updated.
Yeah.
Because the only fix for me was to delete the save file. Luckily, when they told me it was patched, my save file worked fine after that. So just make sure if you pick it up that you have it updated. If you run into any problems, update it. You know, delete the game if you have to, reinstall it. Make sure you have the most current version.
Never hit the B button ever.
yeah, it's a cool little game. I don't know if they're a newer studio. I didn't do too much research on them. It's old school through and through. So if you're an old school style gamer, you like old style games, Adventure Island, again, heavy Adventure Island influence. It's kind of like Adventure Island and Joe and Mac had a baby.
Huh.
Interesting.
I was trying to think of Joe and Mac, so I rambled on as much as I could.
Good job.
Adventure Island and Joe and Mac done had a baby.
Look on the bright side. We didn't have a guest today, and we're already over an hour and a half.
Indeed we are. So I guess we can... is there any news you guys want to talk about? I think the big news right now is Xbox One got another batch of backward compatible titles.
Yeah, all like five of them.
10 games, which really small batch. A lot of people are disappointed. Not really any huge games except for like two of them. Aegiswing, which was a free first-person shooter, or not first-person, side-scrolling shooter, like Gradius, something like that. Age of Booty from Capcom. Normally people would be excited at Counter-Strike Go, but it's the Xbox 360 version, so it's not really, like, there's not many people still playing it. Maybe this will bump up the population. Jeremy McGrath Off-Road, motorcycle game. Sam and Max Save the World, which is, that's a pretty cool one.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
Skullgirls, which is pretty cool, that come to the Xbox One. Small Arms, which is kind of like a Smash Brothers style arena fighter. The original Soul Calibur HD version.
I have that
from
one.
Namco. This one confused the fuck out of me. Space Giraffe, which...
What the fuck?
It's an earlier Xbox arcade title, which I thought was pure dog shit. And for some reason, that got carried over.
Oh, you didn't like that game at all?
No. I don't even understand it, really. It's just fucking weird. I don't know. Maybe if I went back and tried it now, I'd have a better time with it. And then I guess you would call this the headliner is The Witcher 2,
yeah, which is
to celebrate it, it's free on Xbox Live right now. So they did say that they're going to change how they're doing it. They're not going to have monthly releases anymore. They're just going to release games as they're available.
That's actually good.
People are worried that that means that we're going to get even less releases because they won't save up for a batch anymore. But I don't know.
We also don't know how many people behind the scenes are clamoring to have their game put up on it. You know, that's a big factor.
Well, we do know that the BioShock series is planned to come. Black Ops 1 is planned to come.
All I care about is Skate.
Skate 3 is scheduled to come. There's a bunch that are like set to show up. They're just not showing up. And people are getting pissed, like, what the fuck? Why don't we have Black Ops yet? Why don't we have fucking BioShock yet?
We don't know what goes into it, so calm your tits, audience.
I think, if anything, Microsoft could at least start trickling out shit like Forza Horizon. That'd be
maybe
cool.
Some of the
amazing.
Maybe try and focus on like a AAA game or two when you release the others.
Yeah.
Like Witcher 2, okay, that's cool, but that's a relatively new game compared to some of the ones that people have been waiting for, like the BioShock games. And we're talking, 7 years worth of games right there.
I don't know. I'm hoping that we see more. There were people saying that Tekken Tag Tournament 2 was actually working.
Ha, ta, 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 ta.
Yo, that would be awesome.
It was working last night. People said that their digital version, it wasn't in the ready to install list, but they like went into their achievements and it said show in Xbox store. So they went there and they were able to download it and play it. But now it's not working. So
because it wasn't, they weren't ready to announce it yet. They found a shortcut.
Yeah.
That's funny. But
they said it was working fine, but apparently the issue is that with the character creation was causing crashes. So that's probably why it was disabled. But it looks like Tekken Tag 2 is going to be coming eventually.
I would get that.
Yeah.
I would absolutely get that.
I just hope we see more frequent. Just give us more fucking games.
Yeah, it's kind of bullshit.
Yeah, because we totally need more games to play.
Yeah. Get Skate 3 so Chris will shut the fuck up.
Dude, get Skate 3 so I have a reason to fuck it. Dude, I haven't even been turning on my Xbox.
I haven't had that problem. Jesus.
I just started turning it on so that I could fucking play Blood Bowl. That's it. That's it.
Jesus, what have I been playing, man? Well, of course,
I've been playing Diablo. Like that fucking new season came out.
So. I'm still playing the shit out of Fallout. I'm still playing Battle High. Fucking Cubot. I'm still putting time into that one. I got to redo Gone Home. I'm still playing Plague Inc. Fucking Zeros. I think I'm done with.
You're done with that one?
Yeah.
Now, you should play a little bit more before Saturday, since we'll hopefully be talking with Fabio on Saturday.
If I have between now and then, I got so much shit to do.
Shit. The fuck was that?
I gotta go watch Bad Grandpa tomorrow night and review that.
You have to.
Well, I said I was gonna review it, so I kind of have to go do it.
Now you do.
Yeah, obligated.
You did it to yourself.
Yeah, but I'm not sad. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I'm out of shit to talk about.
There was news for Pappy. On Tuesday's episode, he mentioned that Layers of Fear he's waiting for an actual release date for it. Lo and behold, the next day they announced it's coming out February 16th for the final release.
So, there you go.
And they announced that it's also now coming to the PS4.
SML podcast, making shit happen.
Yep, we are getting answers.
I asked the guy who works for the PR firm, hey, why is there no release date for this game that you guys represent? And the next day, that motherfucking game studio released a release date. So, yeah. That's us. That's all us.
We get shit done.
Yep. We are people for the people.
Yes. Yeah. So Layers of Fear is coming and then also showing up on the PS4. And then Friends of SML Asteroid Base, they are going to have Lovers in Dangerous Space Time releasing on the PS4 on February 9th. So PS4 owners get to enjoy
That's what I got to do, too. There's a new game released there's a game that just came out on the Xbox One called Electronic Super Joy? Something.
Yeah, that's for the people who don't know, we covered that one just a little bit. And the coolest part of that is if you go right now on your Xbox One and you go to the Electronic Super Joy store page, and you scroll down to the trailers, we're on there.
We are the fourth one. We are after Spazman, Ice Prime, and Hulu Bug, and Hip Hop Gamer.
I don't have 100% confirmation on this, but I think it's going to be happening again soon.
Good. With
Q-Bert rebooted for the Xbox One.
Q-Bert, what?
When the wonderful Loot Interactive was on our show, we talked about with David the Rod Sterling, who
sounds
hates
just like Bob
that
Raff.
Nickname, by the way.
Did we upset him?
Oh, it's hilarious. He's like, I've worked all my life and now it all comes down to just the Rod. So I think he's taking it in stride, but it's like calling you sheep fucker, where you just
except that we accidentally came upon the Rod. Like, we were just cracking jokes. That was
Rumple Fugly or whatever his name was in the chat? I forget.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it has stuck. But talking
I'm still amazed, though, that a boy in his blob is actually on Xbox One now.
It's exciting.
Yeah, the Wii version got ported over. The Wii
so
remake.
So random.
The Wii make. The Wii make of the game. But yeah, Q-Bert Rebooted is going to be releasing in February, and it looks like I'm going to be streaming it for another trailer, possibly.
Yeah,
that's my
podcast, doing shit. Woo, so, 2016.
So, fuck yeah. I don't know what to do for music this week. Let me see, check my desktop. Do I have anything good?
Good stuff. Dicks.
Oh, man.
Social justice, 1, 2, 3, woo, woo. I want to be PC, woo, woo.
That's just the way to be for me.
And you.
Woo, woo, woo.
I don't know what just happened, but
I played that on a show before, didn't I?
Your hateful slurs are through. Woo, woo. I got woo,
wee,
woo
wee on
you.
We'll fight until your PC black and blue.
Woo, woo.
All right, so.
We are language police fighting bigotry.
It's such a
Purple
good song.
Purple words can
like,
suck our turds because it's PC for me. For me.
So,
and
what are we playing this week?
Woo, woo. Fuck yeah, bro. Fuck yeah. I don't know. We'll play music.
All right, sounds good.
Actual music. Hopefully, I'll be playing actual music in Boston and not stuck on the side in a ditch somewhere.
Yeah, either get to Boston or don't leave. Those are the only things you should do.
I should just play, like, stupid shit. I'll play fucking PC Bro. I'll play Mary-Kate and Ashley Gimme Pizza slowed down.
P-R-Z-Z-A. I haven't listened to that in a while.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I haven't been eating much pizza.
Us three dumbasses did the show together without a guest. Let's just play stuff.
We're playing dumb shit this week.
Can I get the... the hip hop air horn remix of like Guile's theme.
Is there one?
Chris is just straight up being that specific.
Get me a YouTube link, I guess. Jesus Christ.
Hold on,
Christ.
I'm just pulling strings. Like I'm pulling names out of a hat.
Pulling strings here.
All right. So we're gonna have some
don't
kind of
pull too many strings because Ashley's on her period right now.
Just please don't eat corn on the cob when you're driving.
Yeah, right.
That's a terrible ending.
Social justice, 1, 2, 3. I wanna be PC. It's just a way to be for me and you. Your hateful slurs are thin.
I can't leave me like you.
We'll fight them till you're PC black and blue. We are language bullies, fighting bigotry. Hurtful words can suck our turds. I think PC for me and you. Yeah.
Hey guys, we've cleaned out the refrigerator. I think we're just about ready to build the perfect pizza.
Human pizza!
Pizza!
Spell it out for me, honey.
P-I-C-C-A.
running, cause here we go. Chocolate sauce, spreading it slow. Oreo, marshmallow, caramel, coconut cream, egg foo young, chicken tongue, hold the eyeball.
I'm gonna scream.
Now don't forget the rice or the mashed potatoes.
And what about these fried green tomatoes?
Batter's up, ketchup's ready.
One,
two,
three,
four, five,
spaghetti!
Pasta!
Put it in the pizza!
Fish sticks!
Put it in the pizza!
Ketchup!
Put it in the pizza!
Meatloaf!
Put it in the pizza!
Pizza!
Time to pay the piper, you don't want is how I write songs. Make all my verses sound like this. Then I throw in some random percussion so that you can dance to it. Weird guitar.
Potato.